The following special feature of WKQK Radio 1300 is pre-recorded.
This is a rebroadcast of the Brevard at Large program from June 3rd, 2018, featuring Jeff Pearson, Chief of the Satellite Beach Police Department.
Time now for Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large, where we meet and discuss items and issues of interest to all of us here on the Space Coast. My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of today's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we are pleased to have as our guest Chief Jeff Pearson, the police chief of the Satellite Beach Police Department. Welcome, Chief Pearson.
Thank you. It's glad to be here.
Why don't you tell our listeners to start off, just introduce yourself a little bit and tell our listeners, where are you originally from? Are you originally from Satellite Beach?
No, I was born and raised in upstate New York, Rochester, New York, to be exact.
A little colder in Rochester than Satellite Beach, isn't it?
It absolutely is. But I moved down here when I was 11 years old, so I feel like this is home.
What brought you down here? What brought your family down here?
The snow. My dad was a letter carrier and hated the snow, and he had an offer to run a bar or restaurant down here, and he came home and said to my mom, pack your things, and the kids, we're going to Florida and we're getting out of the snow. So that's how we got here.
And you were 11 at the time?
I was 11 at the time, yeah.
And so did you go to school locally here?
I did. Indian Atlantic Elementary and then Hoover Junior High and then Satellite High School.
I see. And how long have you been a police officer?
I'm in my 32nd year with the Satellite Beach Police Department. Started when I was 18 years old as a midnight shift dispatcher.
Have you always wanted to be a police officer?
From as far back as I can remember.
And what got you interested in law enforcement?
I don't know. People ask me that all the time, and I don't know if there was one particular thing or event that caused me to. I just always know that's what I wanted to do. And I remember when I was 16 years old, getting to do a ride-along with a friend of mine who was an Indian Harbor Beach police officer, which, by the way, was not... It was a violation of policy. He would come pick me up at the house, and he'd put me in the car.
We better not tell anybody.
Oh, the statute of limitations long over. And I was 16 years old, and I would get in the police car, and I was absolutely fascinated with it. And he'd drive me around. We'd make a couple traffic stops, and he'd have to take me back home before he got in trouble. it was great. I mean, I've been ate up with it ever since, and I don't regret a single minute.
Well, you indicated that you started at the Satellite Beach Police Department as a dispatcher.
I did.
And what exactly is a dispatcher? Tell our listeners what that is.
That's the central call taker, the 911 call taker, all the administrative lines. Anybody that needs a police officer or needs anything to do with the police department dials either 911 or a regular non-emergency number, and you get the dispatcher. And they take care of everything from there. And that also includes all fire calls, too. So of any emergency for any public service or anything you need, it all goes through dispatch.
It's in the same dispatching system.
Correct.
And when did you become a dispatcher with the Satellite Beach Police Department? How old were you at the time?
I was 18. It was January of 1987 is when I was hired.
And what was your thinking? Did you want to be a police officer at that time? Why did you not just apply to be a police officer?
Well, actually, I wanted to be a police officer so bad that I wanted to apply, but the state law said you had to be 19 to be a police officer. Well, I didn't want to wait that long. I wanted to do something. And I figured that if I started in the dispatch center, at least I was working for a police agency. I was closer than not. And it would probably help me with the academy, which it really did. So the time that I worked there and then went to the academy at the same time was extremely beneficial.
So you went to the police academy. Where'd you do that?
BCC, which is obviously now Eastern Florida.
And could you tell our listeners a little bit, what's entailed in going to the police academy? What's involved? What do you learn there?
Well, the interesting part is, and I think I still hold the record, not that it's super outstanding, but my chief wanted me to go to the academy so bad, and I wanted to go so bad, and he just was a nice guy. So because state law said you had to be 19, that was the rules for the academy. So you had to be 19 to go into the academy. Well, I was going to turn 19 in October, but the academy started in the summer. But I was going to graduate in December after I turned 19. So I went to the chief and I said, seems unfair that I have to wait now a whole nother year when I'm going to, when I graduate, I'll be 19. But it's just the academy rule. The law says to be a police officer, not to go to the academy. So he actually drafted a letter and went to every police chief in the county on my behalf and had everybody sign it so that I could go to the academy when I was 18 years old, because I was going to graduate anyway. So they made the exception that one time, and I went through, and as far as I know, they haven't done it since. So
that's my claim to fame. That's fascinating. Who was your chief at that time?
Lionel Cody, Lee Cody.
I imagine that a whole lot of people, a whole lot of our listeners remember Chief Cody.
I've known him, well, for 32 years, and I can count on one hand the amount of people that I've met that don't like that guy.
So when did you first become a police officer?
It was in 1989 is when I was actually hired as a sworn officer.
And what were your duties when you first became a police officer?
I was the lowest on the totem pole, so I was working midnight shift. There was no rotation. There was no get day shift. You worked midnight shift and did all the grunt work and drive around, answer calls, write tickets, arrest bad guys. That's pretty much it.
So were you promoted to different positions within the police department?
I was. I was promoted to, well, first I was transferred to detective division, where I was a detective for a couple years, then promoted to corporal, and then sergeant, then staff sergeant, then then detective commander, then operations commander, then deputy chief, then chief.
And when did you become chief?
August 1st of 2011.
And you've been chief of the Satellite Beach Police Department ever since then?
I have.
I'd like to back up just a little bit, if we could, if you don't mind.
Sure.
If someone is interested in becoming a police officer, they obviously have to graduate from the police academy. And the local police academy now is offered at Eastern Florida State College, correct?
Well, that's one of many around the state, but yes.
But that's locally, that correct. Would be the easiest one. If someone in Brevard County wanted to become a police officer, that's most likely the academy they would attend.
That is correct.
And how does it work? Do they get a job with a police force or a police agency first before they go to the academy? Or do they go to the academy on their own and pay for it on their own and then try to find an agency, a police force that will hire them?
Actually, both. It depends on the circumstances and it depends on the agency. For example, the larger agencies, the Sheriff's Office, Melbourne, Palm Bay, et cetera, they have the budget and the means and the turnover to where they need the people to where they can afford to hire people technically, pay them to go through the academy, and then the minute they graduate, they pass the state exam, they go right to work. Smaller agencies, us, Indy Atlantic, Melbourne Beach, Melbourne Village, Indian Harbor Beach, generally, I'm not saying that they haven't or couldn't, but generally, we don't have the budget and the ability to hire someone and then not have their services for 6 months and hope they do well and hope they pass and hope they pass the state exam. Because if they don't and you spend all that money and they don't pass the state exam, well, that's 6 months of time you didn't get somebody working on the street, and that's a lot of money away. So I would rather not do that if I don't have to. But if I found an excellent, excellent candidate that I just really wanted to have work for me and not lose them to somebody else or her, that I probably could figure out how to do that.
But typically, for the smaller agencies, if someone was interested in becoming a law enforcement officer, they would go to the academy on their own. They would pay for it on their own. They would pass the state certification, and then they would go to an agency and say, are you hiring? I've passed. I have my certificate. I'd like to become a law enforcement officer.
That is exactly right. And the only other nuance to that is because the academy is the central, if you will, central receiving for everyone, if we have an opening, we would go to the academy and pull all the files of all the recently graduated people. And we would start looking through all those files and compiling a list and then call those people and say, if you haven't been hired, we have an opening. We'd like you to come interview for us. So, either they can come in the front door of the police department and put in an application.
Or you could be looking for it.
Or I could call them and say, we have an opening. I found your file at the academy. If you're not working currently or haven't been hired yet, I'd like to interview you for here.
And what is entailed at the, what sorts of things does somebody learn at the academy? What?
Oh, goodness. It's almost 800 hours of training. Everything. Legal, firearms, driving, case law, high liability. Just a ton of things.
So would you say it's almost law school combined with physical education?
Yeah, law school might be a little strong, but yeah, it's funny because they changed it a long time ago, and
not a long time ago, a while ago, where they used to have the legal portion in the middle towards the end, and that's where most people would fail out. So they got smart and they put it at the very beginning. So you go in, you start, and you go right into to weeks of legal. And if you don't make it, you don't pass, then you just, you're done, rather than wasting 4 months to find out you're not going to make it, which is pretty smart. So yeah, well, law school might be a little strong, but yeah, you're right. It's law school along with a whole bunch of other little schools, defensive tactics, and physical training.
And who are some of the instructors? Are they other law enforcement officers? Or?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I was an instructor there for a long time. I don't anymore, but there's officers from all over.
And are there lawyers also involved in teaching the law part of it?
I think we have some that come in part-time. John Blackledge I think he retired now, worked for Palm Bay for a long, long time, and he was the commander down at Sebastian most recently, and he's been teaching the law block for a long, long time. But I do believe he brings in attorneys that specialize on particular issues.
Now, what are some of your duties, your responsibilities as chief of police of the Satellite Beach Police Department?
Well, the main job is just keep the agency running, stay progressive, my main job is to make sure that I give the people there the tools, the equipment, the skills that they need to be the best that they can possibly be for Satellite Beach.
And what is I guess I should have asked this question first. What's the mission of the Satellite Beach Police Department? What is your function? What is your role?
Well, our role is the basic police function that anybody would have. Respond to calls for service, protect property, protect life, keep people safe, those basic things. But we take it way further than that. Because of the fact that we're not so busy that we're running from call to call to call, we have the ability to really employ community policing, and we get out in the community and do a lot of things that other agencies don't do, not because they don't want to or they're not skilled, but just because they don't have the time. So we take advantage of the fact that our call volume isn't so demanding that we can't get out there and mix with the community. So you'll see officers out tossing a ball with kids. You'll see him stopping up at the beach access and just talking to people. You'll see him going back to calls where they were on a couple of days ago, just checking to see if everything's okay. Just a variety of things that they do that's above and beyond.
And I would imagine that's very helpful within the community to foster a good relationship between the police force and the community, the citizens of Satellite Beach.
It is. And honestly, it has served us very, very well, because the community is very supportive of us, and they have just always been, and they know that we have their best interests at heart.
You're there to serve them.
Yeah, and we are. And they know that we get it, and that's really what we are. We don't just say it. So therefore, there's that trust, and it's good to see, because our community in Satellite Beach is very unique. They're very, very involved, and they're very intelligent. They're very And they're willing to stand up and say what they believe. And I get people all the time that will call me up and directly and say, I'd like to know exactly what this is about, or I'd like to tell you my opinion on this. And they show up to meetings.
Do you listen to those people?
Absolutely. And that's what I'm there for. And I'm out in the community a lot. I'm a member of the Lions Club. I'll be on the weekends cooking hamburgers for an event with different things that's going on. And anytime there's an event in the community, whether it's nighttime, weekend, or day, I try to get to it to just talk to as many people as possible.
Well, Satellite Beach being located where it is, I assume you have a large percentage of people who are in Satellite Beach at any one particular time are from somewhere else. They're tourists, right?
Not as much as you would think.
Is that right?
We have some, certainly, but we don't really swell much when it's the season, like Cocoa Beach would. Cocoa Beach is a destination place. Satellite Beach isn't really a destination place unless you're looking. If you want to go to the beach and just relax and have a good time and not be bothered and have a really nice, pretty, safe beach with bathrooms and showers and the whole deal, you go to Satellite Beach. If you want partying and having fun, you would go to other beaches around.
No partying in Satellite Beach?
Well, I'm not saying there isn't, but for the most part, it's just a quiet area.
It's a more family-oriented, quiet.
And people like it that way.
So how many sworn law enforcement officers does the Satellite Beach Police Department have?
We have 21 sworn right now.
And what are there different departments within the Satellite Beach Police Department?
Yes, the 21 sworn is often misleading. If I tell people that, and they think that that means I have 21 police officers driving around
patrol
the
officers out on the street.
And actually, when you say 21 sworn, that's 21 total sworn people, counting me, from me all the way down to the newest rookie. We have 21 people. And yes, we have an operations commander. We have a patrol division. We have a support services commander, Brad Hodge, who runs the school resource officers. He runs the investigations division. He supervises communications division.
And how many patrol officers do you have?
It's about 14 actual patrol officers and sergeants and corporals that are driving around, you know, at night working shift work, answering calls.
And how about detectives?
We have two detectives and then the detective commander that I told you about, the support services commander.
So that would be three total in the
correct
detective division.
Correct.
And what's the difference between, for our listeners, between a patrol officer and a detective?
Well, a patrol officer is the person in uniform in a police car that you dial 911 and say, I'm having a problem. A patrol officer shows up. Let's say you're a victim of a crime and your lawnmower was stolen or whatever. You would take that report. You would get the information. You'd get all everything you could from the victim. You'd write it all down, and then you would submit it, and then it would go to Brad Hodge, the support services commander. He would review it, and then he would assign it to a detective for follow-up. Detectives are plain clothes, undercover car, or it's undercover, just a plain admin car. And then they would do all the follow-up. They do the undercover operations. They do the drug investigations. They write the search warrants.
So they're more involved. They're more of the investigation end of investigating that particular crime. The stolen lawnmower, they're trying to find out what they can about who might have stolen this lawnmower and perhaps recover the lawnmower for the victim. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly right. If the patrol officer can't solve the crime or handle the situation, whatever it is, in his or her shift or her days working, then that's when it takes more follow-up. So then that's when a detective would then take the case on and they would work it to its conclusion.
So what are some of the different departments within the Satellite Beach Police Department?
We have communications. We have school resource officers. We have investigations, like I just said. Records, evidence, community service, accreditation. And we have Patty Noe, who is our evidence tech, who handles all of the evidence that comes in, but she's also our crime scene analyst and admin assistant to Commander Hodge. So she does a dual role.
So she goes out and collects the evidence also?
No. The officers collect it. She's the one that
categorizes it.
Correct.
And puts it into evidence.
And sends it off to the lab and makes sure it's all right. And yes.
So what are some of the functions of the other departments?
Well, school resource officers, of course, would be just that. We have two officers assigned, one to the high school, one to the middle school. So they go in, and that's their job. They get up, they get in the car, they drive there, and they go there every day, all day.
And they're in a uniform like you're in a uniform?
Correct.
Here at WKQK. What sort of things do they do in the schools?
Well, their primary function, of course, is protection and safety and all those things. But they also do a lot of other things. And what SROs were designed to do way back in the day when the program was first initiated was to bridge the gap between the kids and the police. And what a great way to do it, because now you're more in their environment and you're walking around at lunch when they're with their friends and you talk to them and they talk to you and you get to know them. They go into the class and they teach about gun safety and drug safety and just all kinds of things that they do. Not only that, but they work cases and crimes if someone's a victim or any of those things.
And these are the same officers in the schools all the time. So the kids are seeing them on a daily basis. Is that accurate?
That's correct, yes.
So how is the police department funded?
Well, the police department receives the funds like all the other departments. The city takes in revenue from sales tax, gas tax, property taxes, of course. That's, you know, the majority of the one that most people recognize. And then that all of that revenue is brought into the city, and then it's dispersed to each department to cover the operating expenses and salaries for each department.
Is there a budget for the Satellite Beach Police Department?
There is.
Are you involved in the budget process?
I am.
Are you directly involved? Are you the one who sets the budget, or you have folks who do that and then you review it and tweak it and that sort of thing?
Well, it depends on what you mean by set. The city manager sets it. The city manager tells me this is how much money you have.
But then do you decide, okay, we're going to use X number of dollars from that amount for patrol?
Correct.
X number of dollars for instance, detectives?
Well, yes, in a sense. I mean, all of those people, their salary, that they get paid is all preset, and the city takes that in, the city pays that. So I don't have any direct control over, I couldn't move salaries around or adjust that. People work, they get paid.
But if you need new patrol cars.
Now that's a different story. Those are the kind of things where training and equipment and wearing and all those things, that's all under operations. And obviously, there's other things in there, but those are the things that I have the most control over, where I can put money in one place. If I don't need as much over here, but I need more over here, then I can move it from one spot to another within the operations.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now to remind our listeners that they're listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
And my name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of today's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we are pleased to have with us as our guest Chief Jeff Pearson of the Satellite Beach Police Department. So is it fair to say, Chief Pearson, that every member of the Satellite Beach Police Department is an employee of the city of Satellite Beach?
Correct.
That's where the paychecks come from?
Correct.
And so do those members serve at the pleasure of the manager of Satellite Beach?
Well, ultimately, I have I do the hiring and the firing. However, everything's always in coordination with the city manager. I mean, she runs the city.
Who is the city manager?
Courtney Barker.
Have a good relationship with?
Yeah, excellent relationship.
With Ms. Barker?
Honestly, she's one of the smartest people I know, and she the thing that she does the best that every manager should do, and that every person that has a boss wants them to do, and that is support them, give them what they need to do their job, and stay out of their way. And that's exactly what she does. If I need her, she's there. If she needs me, I'm there. Other than that, she doesn't get into the minutiae of the police department. And
because that's your job.
Correct. And you know, her philosophy is, hey, I hired you, or I pay you to run the police department. So if I have to get involved in everything, then what do I need you for?
And sounds fair enough.
It absolutely sounds fair, and I love every minute of it, and it's great. But if I need her, she's there. But we don't. We have a great relationship, and it works out very well. She does not micromanage, and it's nice.
Well, that's excellent. Let's talk about the jurisdiction of the Satellite Beach Police Department. How far does your jurisdiction extend? Where's the northern boundary? Where's the southern boundary? And that sort of thing.
We're roughly 2.5 square miles from ocean to river, and our northern boundary is just north of where Patrick Air Force Base South Housing used to be. So if you know where the light is at Berkeley Street, it's just a tiny bit south of that. So that whole area has now been absorbed by the city, if you will, and so now we have jurisdiction over what used to be, people will remember, as South Housing up around Hightower Beach Park. And then south would be, there's a strip mall on the east side where Sun on the Beach is, Papagallo's, and some of those other restaurants. And then across the street from that is another little strip mall kind of thing, two-story. And that is just a little bit north of Montecito on A1A. And that is our southern boundary on A1A.
And how about east and west?
Ocean to river.
Ocean to river. So something happens on the beach inside in that area of Satellite Beach, that's your jurisdiction.
It is.
Somebody gets hurt, you might respond to that.
Correct.
Or at least officers of the Satellite Beach Police Department might respond.
Correct. Now, if it's a jet skier and they're out way in the ocean and they have a collision with a boat, that would be the Coast Guard.
But once they make it to the beach, that's Satellite Beach's jurisdiction.
That's correct.
And there are a couple of communities over there, like Tortoise Island and Lansing Island. Do you have any jurisdiction over there?
I do. As a matter of fact, we have the southern tip of Tortoise Island and the northern tip of Lansing Island. It's kind of interesting because you have to go out of our jurisdiction, cross the bridge, and then drive back north to get back into the jurisdiction of Satellite Beach.
Whose jurisdiction do you go into?
Indian Harbor Beach, okay. Which is the next city south. And conversely, it's the same. And it's strange because it's the same thing on the north end for Tortoise Island. We have to leave Satellite Beach's jurisdiction, go into the county's jurisdiction, go through Tortoise Island gate, get onto the island, then go south through the sheriff's office jurisdiction to get to the little southern tip of Tortoise Island that we have jurisdiction over.
Well, how does the... what sort of jurisdiction does the sheriff's office have?
The sheriff's office has countywide. They
so go anywhere in the county?
Anywhere, anytime to do anything.
But is it true that they would generally, if something is happening in Satellite Beach, they would defer to the Satellite Beach Police Department usually?
Yeah, I mean, unless they were right there and saw something and had to take action, but they don't come into Satellite Beach and police unless we ask them to come in. Yes, technically, legally, they could, but they just wouldn't do that. There's no need to do that. And the sheriff and I have a great relationship, as he does with everybody in the county. And if I ever need anything, he is absolutely there, and vice versa. So we have a great relationship. We don't have any issues at all. But yes, they could, but they don't.
Do you have a good relationship with the other communities near you? You have the next one south is Indian Harbor Beach. And I guess it's Patrick Air Force Base. The military has jurisdiction north of you. Is that right?
That's correct. And yes, I'm very fortunate. Dave Butler was hired from the Titusville Police Department to be the chief in Indian Harbor Beach. And I knew him in Titusville, and we had a great relationship, got along well. And he's done a great job in Indian Harbor Beach. So that's always nice. And the chief in Indian Atlantic is Mike Casey. And Mike Casey used to work up in Satellite Beach. So I've known him for years and years before he got to be the chief down there. So I'm very fortunate. Well, we're all very fortunate. Everybody gets along very well. And honestly, if you go to other areas of the state or other country, that is not always the case. Sheriffs and chiefs fight a lot, and there's all kinds of problems that we just do not have here.
Not here in Brevard County.
We just don't. I mean, I could pick up the phone and call any one of the police chiefs or the sheriff right now on my cell phone, and whatever I need, they would be there for me, and vice versa. And any other chief could do the same thing. It's not just me. Anybody could do it.
Well, that's wonderful.
It really is great.
How does it work? Are you able to go into other jurisdictions to... If you're investigating a crime or if you're pursuing someone who's committed a crime?
Yes, we have a mutual aid agreement. And if we're pursuing someone, that's a whole different ballgame because we're actively pursuing someone. So we can go anywhere to catch them in the pursuit. But if we're investigating, if one of our detectives has to go to Melbourne to investigate something, then they have the ability to do that.
And go talk to witnesses in Melbourne and that sort of thing, even though Melbourne is... not in your jurisdiction.
Correct.
And is that vice versa? Is that true also? If a Melbourne officer is investigating a case and needs to talk to a witness in Satellite Beach, is that true that they have the authority to come to Satellite Beach and do that?
Absolutely. And everybody's always very good about giving that local agency a heads up that says, hey, you know, we're going to a particular house in your jurisdiction. We may end up making an arrest or something. So, it works out great. Everybody's just gets along well,
Well, that's wonderful to hear, and it's particularly wonderful to hear that it's somewhat unique. Well, I don't know if that's wonderful to hear for the rest of the country,
right.
But it's wonderful for the citizens here in Brevard County that everybody gets along so well in the law enforcement community.
I'm telling you, I love to say that because I'm in the business,
absolutely,
and I didn't know how good it was because I grew up in it, so I never knew anything else. But when I got to be police chief and I would go to conferences or I'd go to training places and I'd talk to other chiefs in other areas, I would listen to some of the horror stories about fighting with the sheriff, and the sheriff won't do this, or the sheriff will just come into their area and just do things, or search warrants, or arrest people. I mean, and never even give them a heads up. And I just hear these horror stories, and I just think, wow, I had no idea how fortunate we are that we have such an outstanding sheriff and such a great group of police chiefs that just understand the mission and all get along well. And
try to work together.
They do. We do. Every one of us.
Is it fair to say you're all on the same team?
Yes. And it's unusual to find, especially in law enforcement, but any group of people that large that all get along.
Right.
I don't care if they're lawyers or cops or doctors or whatever. That's difficult.
But. That is absolutely true.
Okay, so let me pause for a moment now to remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of today's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we're speaking with Chief Jeff Pearson of the Satellite Beach Police Department.
So, what are some of the most common types of crime that you experience in Satellite Beach?
I would say theft. Theft is, petty theft.
You say petty theft for our listeners, what does that mean?
Somebody steals a lawnmower, they steal a bike, or they...
Something of relatively small value.
Yes. When people talk about Satellite Beach, they'll often say, oh, there's no crime there. And
it is a relatively safe community. Would you agree?
Oh, it's absolutely. We were voted the fourth safest city in the state of Florida. Our crime rate has dropped the last 5 years, and our uniform crime report just came out, and it dropped another 12%.
Well, that's outstanding. Do you keep track of those statistics?
Yeah. I pay attention to that. Yeah, we pay attention. We keep track of it. We're the ones that report it to them. So, when people say that, 50% of me that's great. It's a compliment, but the other half of me wants people to realize that we don't have a bubble over the city, so stuff does still happen here. We do have crime. We have the same crime as the bigger cities. We just don't have the frequency. It's extremely safe. I always tell people that doesn't mean you're absolutely positively never going to be a victim of a crime. So I always just urge people to not take that as being complacent because we are so safe and they feel so safe, but to take precautions and lock doors and...
Absolutely. Well, and I hesitate to bring this up, but Satellite Beach sort of has a reputation for being, you don't want to speed through Satellite Beach because you're going to get a ticket, or you don't want to be drinking and driving in Satellite Beach because they're going to pull you over.
Now, yes, we do.
Of course, you don't want to be drinking and driving anywhere. I mean, no, that's not a very smart thing to do.
Right.
But Satellite Beach has that reputation. Is that a well-deserved reputation for vigorous enforcement of the traffic laws?
Yes, it's very well deserved, and we earned it, and we like it.
So that's something you're proud of.
Yeah, the people that live in our community like it as well. That's one of the reasons why they live here. And I have people, I will be at a social event, and people won't know who I am or what I do, and Satellite Beach will come up, and they'll say, boy, I tell you, don't speed through Satellite Beach. Don't drink and drive through Satellite Beach. And I say, yeah, you're right. That'd be a bad idea. And then they'll later find out who I am or what I do, and they'll feel bad, and they'll get all embarrassed and say, geez, I'm really sorry I said that. And I say, no, I love it. I think it's great. It's because we don't want you in Satellite Beach if you're going to speed or commit crimes or drink and drive. So we want the word to be, don't do that in Satellite Beach.
Chief Pearson, is the Satellite Beach Police Department, does it have any programs that are designed to foster good relationships between the police department and the community of Satellite Beach?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have 10 different programs that are run through our volunteer program. Our volunteer program is really outstanding. We have 60 volunteers. You think about that, that's more than double the total amount of staff that we have, sworn and admin. And these 60 people do an incredible amount of work. But
are these full-time volunteers or
combination
of full-time and part-time?
No, there's really no full-time because the minimum is 2 hours a month. I mean, that's a minimum. We have people that do 2 hours a day. We have people that do 2 hours a month. We have people that do everything in between. So as long as you meet the minimum, then we'll take whatever we can get. If you can work if you can only work 5 hours a month, then we'll take it and we're happy about it.
And how does someone, if they're interested in volunteering for one of these programs, and we're going to talk about the programs in a moment.
Yes.
But how would they volunteer for that?
You just fill out an application. Linda Harlow and Barbara Holland are the two volunteer coordinators. They run the programs and they run that whole, the volunteer program. And you would fill out an application, but we really vet people well.
I was going to ask you that. I assume you have to do a background check.
Absolutely.
You can't have a convicted felon volunteering for the Satellite Beach Police Department.
But we vet people even more than that. Yes, we take fingerprints and we do background and all the normal stuff, but the interview process that Linda and Barb do with the person to make sure that that person's a good fit for us and for what we need. So you might have an impeccable background and completely clean and wonderful, and you've had 30 years in whatever field. But if you're just not a good fit, if we don't feel like you're the right fit for what we need, then we might not, you know, we might not bring you on as a volunteer. Most of the time, we will at least give somebody a chance. But there's been times where we say, look, it just doesn't seem like it's working out, because it's so important to us, and the things that they do are so successful that you just don't want to compromise it by having someone who may have the best intentions, maybe a very good person, but they just don't fit for whatever it is they're doing.
So tell us a little bit, tell our listeners a little bit about some of the programs, the community outreach or the community affairs programs that are involved with the Satellite Beach Police Department.
Well, we have our citizens on patrol, just the people that get in the car and drive around and are the eyes and ears.
And just basically report anything that might be suspicious or...
Correct.
Doesn't look quite right.
Exactly right. Then we have house checks. Our Marine Patrol, which by the way,
What are house checks?
House checks are if you go out of town, you're going to go on vacation and you want somebody to keep an eye on your house. So you come into the department and you fill out a real basic little form, because we need information like, do you have a cleaning person? Do you have a lawn service? Is there going to be someone else come to check on your house? Who has a key if there's a problem, et cetera. So you come in and you fill it out, and then we go check your house a couple times a week while you're gone.
Just to make sure everything looks
and
fine.
And we don't just drive by and look at it and say, okay, it's not on fire. I mean, we go by, we get out, they walk around the back, and they really check it out. They'll shake some doors, you know, once in a while. And people love it. Talk about peace of mind, knowing that there's going to be a volunteer in a police car, basically, driving to your house a couple times a week. If anything, even if they don't find anything, what they do is they deter other people that might go, hey, the Smiths are out of town. Let's, you know, consider doing something to the house. Or
and any,
they see this.
Anyone who lives in Satellite Beach can ask for that service.
Absolutely. Free of charge. We have Marine Patrol. We have the only all-volunteer Marine Patrol in the state of Florida, last I checked. And we have a police boat and all-volunteer Marine Patrol. They get out. They go through the canals. Because if you think about it, if we can't patrol the canal, then there's a whole group of people that are taxpaying residents that live in the city that aren't getting the same protection and the same coverage that you would if you lived in the middle of the city.
Right. I assume it happens sometimes. Someone goes down the canal and sneaks in the back door and breaks into somebody's house that way. They take a boat and go down.
Right.
Or they go and there's a boat, there's a homeowner on the canal who has a boat and they steal the boat motor. That kind of stuff.
Well, it happens in other jurisdictions, but it doesn't happen in Satellite Beach. and I'm not even being funny, because when we were doing the research, when the boat went down and we were considering whether to get another boat because of financial issues, we started looking, and our crimes, property crimes on the water, were minuscule compared to other areas in the county that had reported a lot of those types of crimes. And we just don't, knock on wood, don't have that type of crime. And I can't believe it's anything else other than the fact that there's a police boat with two people in it. They're volunteers most of the time, but you never know if it's going to be a cop or not. And they go up and down all the canals and in the river, and they do it all the time, almost daily, almost. And that's got to be part of the reason, if not the reason, why our crimes on the water are so low. We also have ATV on the beach, where they take the ATV up and down, checking for whether it's everything from dogs on the beach to missing people to just making sure everybody's doing the right thing. We have people walk the beach. We have our
administration where they just come in to do filing. We have fingerprints, the bike patrol that I mentioned to you. We do all special events, whether it's a 5K or Founders Day or all of those things, all the volunteers do. But probably our most prized possession of the volunteer program, the thing that we're probably the most, not probably, are the most proud of, is the Stop By and Say Hi program. And that is a program where volunteers do exactly that. They get in the car and they go to the house and they go in and they sit and they talk to you. And that's it. It's usually, and it doesn't have to be, but it's usually elderly. It's usually maybe homebound people, maybe people that aren't well, people who don't have any family in the area. That's traditionally the type of person that we would go visit, but that's certainly not, they don't have to be that. And you would not believe how popular that is.
Does the citizen have to sign up for that program?
Yes, they call us up because certainly we would never go if
you're not just knocking on the door and saying we're stopping by to say hi.
Never would do that. Someone, either them or a family member, would say, "Hey, you need to go see Sally Jones. Sally Jones is in her 80s. She doesn't get out of the house much. She doesn't have any family that lives here." So we would call Sally and say, "Hey, you were referred to us. I'd like to tell you about the program." Usually, Linda does this. And by the time they get done, Linda gets done describing this program, they can't wait to sign up. And then we go and we sit down with the two volunteers and they just talk to them. Because if you think about it, for the elderly and all the people that I mentioned, there's a lot of programs that handle medical needs. We have the community paramedic program in Satellite Beach, which is outstanding through the fire department. And there's all these other things. But what is the one part of your life that is also very important that gets neglected? And that's the social part. And that's what this is. They go in and they just talk. They want to hear about your grandson's birthday. They want to hear what you made for dinner. They want to hear what you used to do when you were working, on and on and on.
And did they do that on a regular basis?
Yeah, weekly.
Basis?
Weekly. Yeah. And I tell you, it is so popular. We have almost 100 people that we go see now. 100 people we go see weekly just to sit and stop by and say hi. And when if we're not going to make it or if we're running a little late, they call on the phone. They're angry. Like, hey, where's my friends? I thought they look forward to this weekly visit. I mean, we've had many, many, many times where they say, "Can you come every day?" kind of thing, because they don't.
And unfortunately, you have to tell them, we can't do it every day, but every week we'll be there.
Yeah. But they get to know the people. I've had some of the volunteers, they get to know people. They'll come over and they'll cook for them. They'll bring them things. But the other thing about it is it keeps them plugged into the community, where they'll say, "Hey, the light bulb is burned out and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know who to call." And we'll give them an idea. Or they say, "I used to play chess. I love to play chess." And we'll say, "Well, did you know that the rec center has a chess club?" So, and I don't know if they do for sure, but that's an example. And they didn't know. They don't know what's out there. So we keep them plugged in. And more importantly, we make sure that they're okay. Scam-wise, we've had people that will tell us certain stories about something that's going on in their life that just doesn't sound right. So they'll come back and let the police officer know, and we'll call the people up and say, "Why don't you tell us more about this?" and find out they're being scammed and didn't realize it, or any number of things. And it's such a rewarding program that I'm not sure who gets more out of it, the people we visit or the volunteers that go, because they just love it.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful program. Any other community outreach programs?
Well, we take those 10, the bike patrol is what I mentioned earlier that is wonderful. They go around all the different places. They go into businesses and they wave to the people. They stop and talk to the kids. The ATV, again, up and down the beach, people just feel so much safer when they see not only you in the waterways, but on the beach and in the back streets.
Well, do the citizens know that these volunteers are connected with the Satellite Beach Police Department, or how are they identified?
Yes, they're wearing a polo shirt with a badge, and we identify them before we even send anybody over. We tell them, and it's all through the police department. So yeah, there's no question. Plus, they're driving up in what looks like a police car. It's got the lights and all that, but it says "Stop By and Say Hi" on it. We actually have a car. Excuse me. The program got so big, and there's so many people that we needed another car just to run that.
So you have two cars for that?
Yeah, program? We have a citizens on patrol car, which looks more traditionally like a police car that they drive around the eyes and ears, like I mentioned. But the Stop By and Say Hi program has a car that looks a little less like a police car, but it has the police department insignia and things like that on it. But it's got a little guy with a stop sign, and it's it's cool.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now to remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
And my name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of today's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we're very pleased to have as our guest Chief Jeff Pearson of the Satellite Beach Police Department. And we were talking about community outreach programs, Chief Pearson. And are there any programs that you don't presently have at Satellite Beach, through the Satellite Beach Police Department, that you would like to initiate, that you'd like to start?
Yes, it's funny you should bring that up because I've been really trying to figure out how to make this work. But we have a Citizens Police Academy that we run that is very, very popular.
And tell our listeners a little bit about the Citizens Police Academy that presently exists.
Well, it's a 12-week program, usually meets on Tuesdays, starts about February, runs through May.
And where does it meet?
It meets in Satellite Beach at the David R. Schechter Center.
And how often does it meet?
It's every Tuesday from 6 to 8:30. But
free to every citizen?
Absolutely.
Of Satellite Beach?
If you live in Satellite Beach or own a business in Satellite Beach, then it's certainly...
tell our listeners about it. What is it? What do you do there?
Well, what you do there is you get a real deep down inside behind the scenes look at the Satellite Beach Police Department. We go through every one of the divisions that that Christopher had asked me about earlier, and somebody from every one of those divisions goes in and gives you a real deep dive as far as what we do and why we do it and how we do it and some of the things that we can't do that you might see on TV or some of the things that we can do that you didn't know about. And it's very, very, very popular. And like I said, we have a waiting list every year and we max out every year.
What's the limit?
30.
30 people can attend?
Yeah, you get to more than 30, it's just too much. But it's taught by all Satellite Beach police officers for the most part. There's a couple things. We have somebody from the state attorney's office that comes in and talks about crime victims. And victims of crime and domestic violence and how that works through the system and how the system actually works. We have somebody from Crime Line comes in. Crime Line is a great program that's around in Central Florida. And there's other things that the Sheriff's Office Project Lifesaver, which is another fantastic program that we have in Satellite Beach that most people don't know about or don't have. So anyway, we just really get deep into all the different aspects of the police department and people just love it. Probably the most popular, though, is at the very end of the Citizens Police Academy, we actually take you to the shoot, don't shoot simulator. So we put you in the very same training environment that an officer would go through, give you a gun, a fake gun. It's a laser gun, but it's actually real, just fitted with a laser. And we put up a life-size screen.
Of a bad guy?
Of everything, of the whole scenario. I mean, it walks you through it. It's about as real as you can get.
Where the citizen is confronted with someone with a weapon.
Well, possibly. That's the thing. They're confronted
with
something.
Okay.
Maybe it's a traffic stop. Maybe you're responding to a burglary. Maybe you're responding to an alarm. Maybe you're responding to a domestic. Maybe you just walk up to somebody that's acting suspicious on a street corner, whatever the circumstance is, and you have to handle it. Sometimes you have to shoot somebody in the scenario because they're pointing a weapon at you or threatening your life, or other times it may look like they are, but they don't, and then you've got to justify it. And boy, it's extremely popular, and people just have a whole other perspective of everything when they get done with that.
I bet they do, because I assume that sometimes somebody overreacts and shoots when they shouldn't be shooting. And
we had one lady that, and I won't name who it is, but she went in there, and we had three scenarios. She shot every single person in every scenario. Just shot them all. We said, "Wait, what are you doing? You're supposed to shoot the bad guys." And she said, "I just was so scared. I didn't know who was what, so I just thought I'd shoot everybody." And I'm like, "Wow!" It just gives you another perspective. There's other people that freeze up. It's a screen. It's a movie screen. Now it's talking to you, and it seems it's all black, and you're the only thing in there, and it seems real. But then people freeze. There's somebody pointing a gun at them, saying, "I'm going to shoot you," and they're getting ready to kill them, and they just freeze. They can't even pull the trigger. It just gives them another perspective of our job and what they face. And that's probably one of the most popular, but we also have a jail tour. We take on a full backstage tour of the jail.
Of the jail up on Camp Road?
Yeah, that's pretty eye-opening, I can tell you that.
That's really eye-opening. And then because of the great relationship with the sheriff's office and the sheriff, he allows his helicopter to fly in. So the helicopter flies in and lands right in front of our academy. And when it lands and the propellers are off and it's all safe, then they walk up to it, they talk to the pilots, they can see it, they can look at it. I mean, you want to talk about something pretty cool when you're standing there and the helicopter flies in and lands on the parking lot right in front of you just for you. And that's only three of the 12 weeks, and it's just, there's just a ton of great stuff. But anyway.
And you were talking about, before you started talking about this, what's the name of this? It's the
Citizens Police Academy.
Mm-hmm. You said you were thinking about another idea that was related to the Citizens Police Academy.
I was. And it,
and something that you'd like to start up.
Yeah. And it's funny that you brought that up, because I was just talking about this a week ago, because we're just wrapping up our Police Academy, Citizens Police Academy from this year. And I really want to do a Citizens Police Academy for kids. I just think that would be really, really cool.
Something, what age? What age? For?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. That's why it's funny that you brought it up, because this is still in infancy stage.
You're thinking about
it. Right. I mean, I've got it. I think it should look like in my head, but I don't have it yet worked out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, my opinion won't matter in the grand scheme of things, but it's probably not a great idea to be teaching kindergartners, you know, like, little Billy, this is who you shouldn't shoot, and this is who you should definitely shoot under any circumstances.
Well, I assume that you might not have the shooting part police academy.
And that's what's the hardest part, because when you're talking about people's kids, and you want to be age appropriate, but boy, you know, people have such a wide variety of things that they would allow or accept their kids to hear or see. Some people, you know, hey, tell them anything, tell them everything, it's life. Other people are like, well, I don't want them to know that exists. So I think it would be very difficult. We'd have to have a lot of discussion with parents. I don't think it's a deal breaker. I think I can make it work. We can make it work. It's just a matter of trying to figure out how to do it. But it's funny you should mention it, because that is something.
And that's something that you're really working on. You really want to make that happen.
Yes, I really want to make it happen. I think if it's done right, it could be very, very popular. What a great way to again bridge the gap with the kids, and just let them understand why we do what we do,
and also let them understand that you're not somebody to be feared. The police are not somebody to be feared. They're somebody to help. They're there to help them. They're there to serve them, and that to foster a good relationship between. I mean, unfortunately, in today's day and age, we hear every day in the news about how there are some people who dislike police officers or are distrustful of police officers.
Yes.
And if you can get kids to realize that's you don't need to be that way.
Right.
At an early age,
right.
It's so much better for the entire community. Would you agree?
I would. I really would. And that's part of the reason is you really want to get that. But you can tell kids anything. You can tell them whatever. But if you show them,
right.
If they really see it and they feel comfortable. And we've seen that with the school resource officers. Sergeant Paul Creature is a resource officer at the high school. He is wildly popular. People talk to him all the time about anything and everything. There's no way you can tell me that that's not helping the community, because they get to know these people. And I just think that this would be another step to really get kids to understand what we do and why. So I'm trying to work it out, but we'll see.
Well, hopefully you can.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now to remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
And my name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of today's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we are very pleased to have with us Chief Jeff Pearson of the Satellite Beach Police Department.
So, Chief Pearson, as a longtime law enforcement officer, I'm sure that you have many stories. Are there any that you feel comfortable sharing with our listeners?
I have all kinds of stories. You talking probably like bad guy stories of the stupid things that criminals do?
I get the feeling that you've been asked about this kind of thing before.
Yeah. Yeah, I often get invited to places, and I don't think it's my charming personality. I think it's just because I have a lot of funny stories. one of my favorites was I got a call. A gentleman owns a lawn care business, and he said that he had several checks that had come through his bank on his account and that he did not write and had cleaned out his account, but pretty close. And then
how he knew is because he wrote a check and it bounced. And he knew he had plenty of money in there. So he went to investigate it. And he realized that somebody had gotten hold of his checkbook and had removed some checks. But they went like 4, 5, or 6 down and then pulled a few out from the middle so they wouldn't be readily noticed. And he said, the checkbook is always in my car. And the only other person that's been in my car with me was this new guy that I hired. I hired him. He worked for 3 days and then he quit. I said, well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that's probably the first place to start. So I go to the bank and I get the checks. Well, this guy had stolen the checks and had written them out to himself and then went to the bank to cash the checks. And the lady said, well, I need to see your ID. So he gave ID, a fingerprint, and a picture.
So you had all the information you needed to arrest him.
I did. But the best part is, so I go arrest him. I put him in handcuffs. I get him back to the station. I uncuff him, and I start to book him. And he says, what are you charging me with? And I told him all the charges. And he said, well, how did you catch me? I said, you wrote the checks to yourself. I said,
You left your driver's license there.
You gave your driver's license at the bank. I said, this is the picture from the bank where you looked at it and smiled. I said, this is your ID number from your driver's license. I said, and you forged the other person's name. I said, I'm not a rocket science, but I'm smart enough to figure this one out.
I imagine that wasn't very hard for the state attorney's office to prosecute that.
I assume you didn't have to be in the detective division to figure that one out.
But honestly, the best part of the story was the fact that he absolutely was unsure of how I wanted to tell him I'm just a great detective and really smart, but I couldn't bring myself to. I mean, who does that? I mean, I don't understand.
I mean, you gotta wonder how people get to adulthood like that.
Yeah, and I honestly, if this was a 6-hour program, I could probably fill up 4.5 of it of stories like that. But then there are
other times where it's very difficult to find the person who committed the crime. And sometimes, unfortunately, some crimes go unsolved.
That's exactly right. And the problem with that is TV really just has caused us problems because
people expect every crime to be solved.
Oh, you wouldn't believe. I have had people that are dumbfounded when we don't show up with a CSI team.
Right.
They want to know, where's the big van? Right. Where's all the people with the funny suits? And I said,
why aren't you taking DNA samples?
Yeah, and I said, you are looking at the crime scene team. It's me, because that's all I got. So I'm going to do the best I can, but, you know, it's, and they don't, they just don't understand. And I get it. I mean, to them, they're a victim. So even though it's minor in the grand scheme of things, it's still important to them.
And it's important to you, too.
It is. And we tell them that, but it's hard to get people to understand that I'm not going to take DNA because your lawnmower was stolen. I mean, just, it cost me $160 every swab to send off. I just can't. It's just not fiscal management.
And in reality, it cost them $160 because they're the taxpayers who are actually paying for that service.
Yeah. And I just can't use up my budget to find out who stole your $250 lawnmower when I might need that to find out.
As you'd like to. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd love to find out who stole the lawnmower.
You'd like to
get the lawnmower back to them.
If I could solve every single crime, we would. And we do the best we can. And we, honestly, we go, again, because of what I said earlier, we go so far above and beyond what many other agencies do. Again, not because they don't want to, but because of our call volume and because of the expectations that our community has, we take cases that probably nobody else would take. And we follow things up as far as we possibly can, maybe more than the average police department, just because of the community expectation, because the community trusts us and they know that we'll do everything we can. So we want to deliver on that.
Well, it sounds like you are very proud of your department. You're also proud of your community of Satellite Beach.
I am.
That's what I'm hearing. Is that right?
You cannot be more right. I'm so proud to come to work every single day. I tell people all the time, I have the best job in the country. I really do. I get to come in. I get to watch people that are good at their job, that are passionate, that care. Our entire team. You know how hard it is to find an entire organization where everybody gets it? Everybody. Almost all organizations. I don't care whether it's a police department or a bank or whatever. You're always going to have that one or two employees who are just a problem and they're never happy and they're just, you know, the cancer in your agency. We just don't have that. Everybody is completely plugged in and gets it. And it's, you know, almost anybody can be a police officer anywhere, but it takes somebody special to be a police officer in Satellite Beach. And we
we have them, and it's just a great thing to watch.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Now, if someone wants, we've talked briefly, if someone wants to report a crime in Satellite Beach, obviously they can call 911. Are there other ways for them to report a crime?
Well, certainly they could call the non-emergency line. We often have people.
That, and what number is that? Is that
321-773-4400, option one for dispatch if you want to report a crime. And trust me, we have people, speaking of funny stories, we had someone call 911 and ask if we could, if they could transfer, ask if we could transfer them to Bell's department store. And we said, well, what's the emergency? What's the problem? She said, I haven't paid my bill and I got to figure out how I'm going to do that. We said, this is the police department. She said, I know. Can you transfer us? We said, do you have an emergency? She said, yeah, my bill's late. Honest to goodness, you can't make this stuff up. So he said, ma'am, you're going to have to call Bell's on your own. Look it up in the, you know, in the phone book or the internet, but we cannot tie up this line for that. But yes, they can. You can call 911 for emergencies, or you can call the non-emergency line that I just gave you, or you can just walk in. I mean, we're open 24/7, and you walk in the right in the lobby and report whatever crime you need, and we'll take care of it.
And you indicated earlier that there's a, in Central Florida, there's, in which would include Brevard County, there's a crime line. If people want to report or provide tips about crimes, they can call this number. Do you know what that number is?
I do. It's Crime Line. It's 1-800-423-TIPS.
For those of us who are challenged, what number does TIPS come out to? Do we know? TIPS? We'd have to look it up. That's okay.
Yeah, I always just say 423-TIPS, so I'm no help to you, unfortunately. But
because I always have to look at the phone. So
it's a great organization. It really is. And we've gotten many, many tips from them. It's completely anonymous. If there's a reward and you call in and your information led to the arrest of that person for that reward, they will give you that reward. And we work well with them. Like I said, it's a great organization. It's run very well, and it serves a great purpose.
So does your police department use social media?
We do. I was a little late getting to the social media party, as they say, as an agency, than I wanted to. And it was very frustrating because Satellite Beach has never, ever been the last one to do anything. Not that we were last, but we were not first. Normally, we're very progressive and we're the first to do most everything. But we are on Facebook and we use it. It seems to go well. Unfortunately, we just don't have the staff to use it to its full potential. If I could afford to have someone whose main job or one of their main jobs is to monitor it and post to it and things like that.
Perhaps one of those volunteers.
Yeah. Well, it's very, very, I mean, once you put it out there, it's out there forever.
Right. And so you have to be careful about what's going on there.
I get very nervous about, not that the volunteers aren't good or capable, but I really get very nervous. And you need to make sure that the person that has access to it and I are on the same page. And we know, and they know what I would like, what I'm not comfortable with or whatever, or at least then just ask me. So yes, we do it. I think it's very successful. We have a lot of likes or people following us or whatever. But I wish we could do it a little bit more than we do, but we're getting there.
So is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about the Satellite Beach Police Department?
Well, I just would like them to know that Satellite Beach Police Department is committed to providing a fun, safe city, a safe community. And I think we've done that. And I think people know that. But I just like the fact that I get an opportunity to talk about a lot of the things that we do, a lot of the programs we have, because I don't think people realize just how much we have to offer and how much we do with so few people. The volunteer program, the Stop By, it's a high program. It's a great community, and whether they live there or not, every police officer feels like that's their home, and they take care of it as such. And we care about the community, and they care about us, and there's a great trust there. And I just I'm just proud to work there, and I'm proud to go into work every day.
Well, we're very pleased to have you here this morning, Chief Pearson, and we'd like to thank you very much for taking the taking the time out of your busy day to come and talk to our listeners about the Satellite Beach Police Department. And that's going to about wrap it up for this week's edition of Brevard at Large. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. It was very nice of you. Thank you.
Thank you.